What separates marriages that last a lifetime from those that last maybe, well, a few days, months, or maybe just a few years? And come on, I've seen couples I've dealt with in counseling over the years that started to talk about divorce on their honeymoon. What separates that? What separates someone who can live together in marriage 40, 50, 60 years from those who can't? There are things that seem to make a difference, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Dr. Randy, and from our archives here at Intentional Living, I think you'll enjoy the next 30 minutes as we talk about what does it mean to have a marriage that can last a lifetime. And by the way, we love your comments. We love you taking time and sharing with us. And so let me open the phone lines with this question. What is one thing that seems to help you in your marriage to make your marriage last? Not perfect, but it made your marriage last as many years as you've been together. Share with us at 888-888-1717, and you can press the prompt that'll take you to the comment line and share your story. By the way, if you ever want to talk to one of our staff, you can do that as well. I think you prompt number two, isn't that correct, Stephen? You push number two, and it takes us to the staff, and the staff would love to pray with you. And those of you who've been calling maybe to support the ministry, we always love to have a chance to do that personally. But today, this show is really designed to encourage you. More than ever, as we go through this year, I want to make sure our Intentional Living broadcasts are uplifting, are going to encourage you, and point you toward the truth. And today, one of the most powerful, important, high-stake relationships is our marriage relationship. And so we'll get to our calls in a moment. Again, your comments are welcome at 888-888-1717. Let's get started with Dave, who called from Arizona. Hi, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Randy.
Appreciate it. How long have you been married?
Well, 31 years, and 3.5 years ago, I lost Nancy, and I'm saddened by that, but
yes.
God is a good God, and good things are in progress, but the marriage was certainly a very good thing. I think of him saying that the wife finds a good thing, and
yes,
that was very true. In
was that an unexpected death?
It was 3 years in the coming because of a fight with cancer, so kind of expected, and it was a sort of a rich 3 years, probably of the best in our marriage.
Yeah, I want to hear about that in a moment. I want to ask you about that in a moment, but tell me, during those 31 years, what was the one ingredient that you think kind of held everything together? I mean, what was one of the things that really held you together?
Well, not at all cliche, Jesus, because I thought of it as a game changer. When you're a kid and you have some of those games where you have a base or a home and you go there and you're safe and the people can't tag you or whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus was that for us because, we had hard times, disagreements, things we didn't like about each other or had to grow to understand about each other. But it was as though there were no other options than working through it. You go to Jesus and find your safe place and keep working on your marriage. So as committed Christians, just knowing that it would not honor him, it would not please him, it was not his plan for the marriage to dissolve or whatever one might want to call that, it was just like not an option to do anything except keep going back to him.
Good for you. Now, those last 3 years, can't imagine. Don't wish that on anybody, Dave, and I know you've been through it and you've learned some lessons. You look back. What were those 3 years like in terms of what have you learned about, I don't know, about life and marriage and priorities?
Hard. She was a very godly person, just an encouragement. And through that year, those several years, the testimony that she had and the suffering, she in some ways suffered physically, but just knowing that her survival was not very likely was hard for me, and I wanted to fix it. I wanted to, get it, see another doctor, all this stuff, and some of my pressure on that, I had to realize that, God was allowing her in control and just admire and be with her as she was being strong, but really treasured her more than, I think it's hard for us fellas sometimes to realize we're not treasuring our wives the way we should, and something like that coming in your life really does help to bring the focus where it should be.
And where are you now? How are you doing?
I'm real involved in a church and just loving it, and have support from family. And, you know, there's a sense in which I have a chance just to give back. And I think of Paul being in prison and saying that his circumstances had turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, and yeah. He didn't choose his circumstance, I didn't choose mine, but God's using it.
Yeah, good for you. Well, Dave, I really appreciate your call today. You've enriched, I think, our time and our discussion, and we wish you the very best and pray for you that the future will be bright, and God will continue to use what you've learned for His benefit and His glory in the future.
Thank you for your program. Really, I have radios on, timers around the house, and your program is on every one of them.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be here, Dave. Appreciate it.
God bless you and your ministry. Thank you. Bye. Mm-hmm.
I think Dave reminds us that, I don't think, I know. Listen, life is short. I was looking at my top 10 list of things that hold marriage together, and we talk about forgiveness and shared values, but one of the things I had down here was just grow up. Growing up should marry. And you go through what Dave has been through and what his wife went through, you're going to grow up pretty fast. I mean, if you weren't growing up before, you will be during that process, or you're going to collapse under the weight. In growing up spiritually, understanding that there are things that we can control and there's things that we can't control, there's things that matter and things that don't matter. I'm sure if we talked to Dave further, he would have said, hey, there are a lot of things that didn't matter during those 3 years. Come on now, let's face it. Look at the stuff that we focus on in our marriages, guys, that are a great big fat deal until all of a sudden there's a cancer diagnosis. And then it's not a big deal at all. And so majoring on the majors, focusing on the things that really matter is a great starting point. Part of that is just growing up, being responsible for our time, our work, our eyes, our attitude, being responsible for the words that come out of our mouth, and it's a part of it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13 that we are to grow to maturity, to encourage each other, to live in harmony and peace. And then the love of God and peace will be with you. And that's a promise. That's good. So again, Dave, thank you for sharing with us.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. You know, we've raised 5 kids, and we never had a curfew for any of the children. And let me tell you, they hated it. They absolutely hated it. Dad, would you just tell me what time I need to be home? You'd be home at a reasonable hour. Dad, would you just tell me what time I need to be home? Honey, we've had this conversation. Be home at a reasonable hour. You know, there's something wonderful, folks, about expecting the best of your kids. I know some of you are saying, Lehman, if I said that to my kid, they'd be home at 3:45 in the morning. Well, let me assure you, that'd be the last time they'd be home at 3:45 in the morning with a car that I own and I insure. Thinking the best of your kids, expecting the best of the kids, letting them make decisions when they're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old pays off, not only in the immediate future, but for all of life. Teaching kids to live the responsible life is what every parent should be doing.
All right. Hey, listen, you know, that by the way, that's Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's always taught that principle about, you know, don't give your kids a curfew. You just trust them and then you hold them accountable. And so I want to debate that with him. I've always wanted to debate, because I'm not sure I totally agree with him on that. We tried it, and we said, no, we always want our kids to know what was expected. We're talking today, though, about marriage. What are some of the ingredients, or at least one thing, the glue that kind of holds things together? Christy's been waiting in New Mexico. And George, I'll get to you in a moment, but let's go to Christy first. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
I appreciate your call. How long have you been married, Christy?
It will be 39 years this July.
Well, congratulations. What is it, when you think about it, what's kind of a glue that's held you guys together?
having a Christ-centered marriage that's based on biblical principles.
Give us some examples. What does that flesh out like? I mean, what does it look like?
Okay, first of all, forgiving one another as Christ forgives us. On my part, honoring my husband.
Mm.
And in turn, he loves me as Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
Putting each other's first, because the scripture tells us to prefer others above ourselves, mm-hmm. and that's also what Christ did. And looking to the Lord for fulfillment rather than to each other.
That's a difficult thing to do, because we have such high expectations of other people. I tell people we judge ourselves on our own intentions, right? But we judge somebody else on their action. And so mm-hmm. I'd say, well, this is my intention, and you misread me. And little things, how do you deal with the little things that kind of pop up in marriage over these 39 years?
Well, it's just like I'm also a pastor's wife. And sometimes ladies in the church will come up to me and they'll say, well, it just bothers me when my husband, and then they'll continue on. And I tell them, kind of jokingly, but sort of true, is sometimes I just want to pinch my husband's head off. But then I realize I do things.
No, that from the things. Mouth of a pastor's wife.
but then I continue with, there are many things that I do that I know frustrate him.
Yeah.
And he loves me in spite of that. And I should love him in spite of those things.
Yeah.
Because that's the way Christ loves us.
Absolutely.
We're not perfect.
Mm.
I shouldn't expect him to be perfect. He shouldn't expect me to be perfect. And I'm not saying our marriage is perfect. It's not, because we're both human.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's good advice. Hey, let me ask you, Christy, pastor's wife, okay? People are listening. Come on, I want the honesty now. What do people in the congregation need to know about the pastor and the pastor's wife in terms of helping? I mean, what is it that you would always want to be able to say to people about taking care of your pastor and your pastor's wife and family? What would it be?
Wow. Don't begrudge them things that they may, you know, a lot of times if you do something, if you're able and you scrape up the money to take a trip, don't look at them and say, well, they shouldn't be able to do that. How can they do that? They should be living sacrificially. Well, you don't know how much sacrifice the pastor and pastor's wife make with time with their family, with time, personal time alone. We're always expected to drop everything right now and hop to that need of our congregation. But a lot of times the pastor and pastor's wife have needs or things that are going on in their family. And a lot of times the church membership don't show up. Say, for example, if you have a family member that's in the hospital and going through a difficult time, there's not that response that we give to the congregation. They don't, a lot of times, do it in return.
Yeah, they're thinking, hey, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do, and missing the fact that you're people too. I mean, you're part of the church, and you have challenges and hurts like everybody else.
Right.
That's a good reminder. Well, Christy, I appreciate talking to you today.
Well, thank you.
You know, we're talking about the things that make marriage last, and Christy said it very well. It's, you know, you got to keep coming back to the things that matter. You got to come back to really, truly submitting. The Bible says, you know, that we often go to wives, submit to your husbands, Ephesians 5:22. Guys have that circle in their Bible, right? You know, submit. But miss the verse before, 5:21 always precedes 5:22. Where Paul gives this universal principle here, submitting one to another out of fear of God. And so let me say to guys, we're commanded not only to be in leadership, but also in a submissive role, and we're to submit to one another. And smart guys know when to really submit to their spouse, because submission is not that's not a lack of leadership. Sometimes, even in the workplace, come on, you know, if you're in a workplace, you know this, sometimes you submit to those who know better than you do. You do that intentionally, and that's a good thing.
Here's how to know that you need to make a change in your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and I'm going to encourage you to ask yourself one question. If I keep going in the direction I'm on today, where will it take me in 1, 2, or 3 years from today? You know, there's two types of inertia. There's the kind of inertia that says an object won't move unless there's some force put upon it. It's stuck. The second one is that it's going to keep going in the same direction unless there's a force put on it to change the direction. Here's a fact. Every hero in the Bible had a point of change in their life, where they moved from going in one direction to going into another direction. They changed that inertia for God's glory. If you need to make a change, can I encourage you today? Do one thing to make tomorrow better. When you do, that's intentional living.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
How did kids change your life?
Oh man, good grief. It was like we just don't stop. You know what I mean? It's like, and she especially, I don't know how she keeps going at the pace that she keeps going. And basically I just fall in line and I just take people where she says to take them. I'm basically like the big daddy taxi, like at our house, you know? And so, you know, what, somebody's got to go to praise band practice. All right, I'm taking them over there. Up, somebody's got to sleep over at such and such's house. All right, I'm on it and I'm taking it over there. That is my only usefulness, really, is just being like a carrier of children places. You know, she keeps everything else in line. She's so organized. And that's who we need to talk to about intentionality, is Candace Weaver, because she is an intentional woman for sure.
Well, we'll find out more about that. Candace is married to Big Daddy Weave, and you just heard Mike Weaver talk about his family, and he's going to continue, he and his wife, sharing with us on the upcoming June 12th through 19th cruise, the Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. It's going to be a fantastic week. We're looking forward to a breath of fresh air by June, right? We'd love to have you get your cabin reserved. Mike is going to be leading us in worship. He's putting on a concert. He and his wife are going to be sharing. Evan and Kelly Carlson will be with us. Evan is the president of the ministry. He's going to be sharing. I get to teach as well on intentional living. We're just going to spend a week together enjoying fellowship, eating together, and you get to tour some of the most beautiful places on the planet. There are limited cabins available for our group, and we want you to be a part of it. So this would be a great opportunity to get your cabin reserved. Simply go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and you'll see the events tab there where you can click on that and get that cabin reserved for you and your spouse or your family, or for you and a friend if you're coming that way. We'd love to have you be a part of it. So again, go to theintentionallife.com for a week on a cruise that can change your life, the Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. Boy, we'd love to have you be a part of it. A time where we can grow closer to God, to each other, and be with other men and women of like faith. I think that's an encouraging thing. We need that today, now more than ever.
If you treated your marriage like your car, you'd have a better marriage. Do you ever look at your relationship and think, why doesn't it feel the same way it did when we were first married? Maybe it's because we don't do the same things we did when we were first married. How long has it been since you've written your sweetheart a letter? When's the last time you took a weekend and went away with just the two of you? Have you gotten in the habit of taking the things your person does for you for granted? Look at it like this. You'd never skip getting the oil changed in your car and expect it to run well after a year. Why do we do that with our marriages? Read some books, talk with a counselor, or just start getting romantic and see what happens. It could be your marriage needs a tune-up. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
Thank you, Greg. He's a great guy. I appreciate Greg. He's one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center. If you're a new listener, or maybe you've been around for a while but never really plugged into the fact that Intentional Living Center is a place, but it's also, because we're connected electronically by radio and online around the world, not only is it a place, but we really see this as a community. You know, I take what we do here on the radio, for instance, as a community. The door's open, you're here, we're talking to each other, we're interacting online, and you know what our purpose is? If you've ever looked at our purpose here at the ministry, our purpose is to help you find what your purpose is, in this case, for your marriage. What is God's purpose or intention for your marriage? And then to live it and then to enjoy it, and then to multiply by sharing your life with others, to be a person of service and impacting the lives of others. And when we see people, men and women who've chosen to be intentional, you can hear it in their voices as they tell their stories on the air. There's a difference when you hear someone say, "Hey, I choose to be intentional." And there's something that happens in us, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, when we move in this healthy direction. And that's why we're here. That's why this ministry exists. I'd like to get to George. He's been waiting patiently in Wisconsin. George, welcome to the program, and thank you for your call.
No problem. I'm actually honored to be on the taping with you.
Well, I appreciate your call. Tell me, how long have you been married, George?
Well, I've been married less than a year, and with my current wife for 4 years.
So what are some things what have you learned that for even in this short time that make the marriage work?
Well, actually, a couple of things that actually go hand in hand, in my personal opinion. It's actually honesty and commitment.
Mm. Well, and those are both on my list. When we talk about commitment, in fact, number two on my list, George, is commit freely. Because we, as I said in the past, we live in this replacement culture, you know, where there's a sense of just if it doesn't work, replace it, as opposed to really being committed, which is something that God wants us to do. Now, do you find, what is it after a year that you have found? I know it's a short time, so you still got some years ahead of you, but where are you today compared to a year ago? What's one thing that has helped you get through this year that's been a good point in your marriage?
Being honest and committed, even in any relationship, personally is better than what my dad always calls it, a white lie.
Mm-hmm. It's those small little lies, yeah. Well, now let me tell you something, George. I found when you talk about honesty, let me share something that'll be helpful for you. Only a year into your marriage, we want to be honest with you. We need to be. We need to have transparency to grow in our marriage. But every thought that passes through our mind doesn't necessarily have to be said. Because let's face it, there's sometimes we're going to say something that's not going to build up the marriage. You know, that's what I'm feeling at that moment. I want to say it. Well, that may not be the smartest thing to say. You got to process that and think about it. So in our marriages, to really think, and I agree with you on the honesty, by the way, but you're going to find as you go through the years ahead, there are times where you're going to say, wait a minute, okay, I've been building up some things. I don't want to just back up and dump all this on my spouse because it's not going to build up my marriage. But this idea of having honesty, like you said, George, I agree, honesty, commitment, transparency, openness, communication is what will move you. See, it's what's going to move you from this idea of, well, you know, 1 year to making it to 50 years. And you can do it if you balance it and do it intentionally. Now, we tend to, in our culture, just kind of blend those two, that shame and guilt are the same thing, but they're not. Psychologically, when we're working with people, we see shame and guilt as two different things. Shame is about me, who I am. We can just feel shameful sometimes as a person. Maybe we grew up in an environment where we just never felt like we measured up. We were never good enough. For whatever reason, some of us just walk around feeling ashamed all the time. You know, I think that's true, and maybe you relate to that, maybe not, but maybe someone you're married to or someone you know struggles with that shame. And where did it come from? We see it right there in the Garden of Eden. I mean, it's laid out in Genesis chapter 3. The first thing Adam and Eve did after they fell off that wall, as I talk about Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall, the first thing they did when they violated God's command and sinned was they hid themselves. They hid themselves from God. They covered themselves. They made a covering and hid from God. And we see that, as I just mentioned, shame is about me covering up. Guilt is about how I feel toward what I've done toward you, in this case, what they did toward God. And there's two solutions I teach this month in our membership-only lesson. It's first of all, confession to Christ. You know, we've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is I can, with confidence, that's the second thing, confidence in Christ, know that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that message just permeates the lesson this month from intentional living. And one of the greatest privileges of my life is to be able to teach. Now, we don't do that on the radio. We take your calls and we talk, but I always look forward to sitting down, talking with my staff and teaching on some things I think will be helpful. And every month we send it out to you now by email. It comes automatically to your email address, a video of the lesson and an audio. And please, if for any reason you're thinking, well, I'm a member and I'm not receiving that of Intentional Living, please let us know. Maybe it's in your spam filter. Check that out. Maybe it's getting lost, or maybe for some reason the wrong email address was put in. Let us know. Or some of you are still receiving the CD version, which we're happy to send out to those of you if it's more convenient. The beauty of the email is that this way you can listen to it on demand and share it with others. Plus, we can send you the video copy. So again, come and join us. And we have a brand new flip book, 52 Intentional Moments, as a way of saying thanks from those of you who are helping us with a financial gift, especially here in January. We need to catch up. We literally fell significantly behind in December where we needed to be. And so your love gift is very important. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I was commenting on how I've been intentional in my marriage. And my husband and I have had a lot of issues, I guess, prior to us getting married. We've been married almost 7 years now. And one thing that I've learned personally is three things. I have to pray all the time. And I also pray that God would tell me when to speak, because sometimes things have to be expressed or your spouse might not know how you feel about them. I pray for God to tell me when I should be silent, because sometimes I talk too much. And then I also pray, we pray together that we grow closer to God, sort of like the triangle concept. The closer we get to God, the closer we're going to get to each other. So I hope that blesses someone, and thank you so much, Dr. Randy, for the information that you give us from God's perspective. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life today with Intentional Living. And we'd love to hear your comments. Share with us at 888-888-1717, and you can press the prompt that will take you to the comment line and share your story. I'll be back again next time. Come and join me here at Intentional Living.